It's time for The Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's The Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston, on this, what looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend, by the way. It looks like if you're in the city like we are today, it looks like it's going to be up to the 80s. If you're down to the coast, maybe mid-70s, so pretty nice weather, and it looks like it's going to be pretty nice right through midweek. So if you're out and about, good for you. Our phone number is 617-770-3030. Coming up on today's program, we're going to be talking to John Aketa. He is the Vice President and Brand Manager for Acura, and I had the opportunity to sit down with him at the weekly, this time, New England Motor Press meetings. And also, we're going to be reviewing the Lexus RCF V8-powered luxury sports car by Lexus. But right now on the phone with us is Rick Shad. He's the Director of Operations and Executive Director of the Newport Concours d'Elegance and Motor Week that's going on in a couple weeks in Newport. Rick, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor program here in Boston.
Good morning, John Paul. I'm so excited to be on with you. We're getting close, only a couple of weeks away, actually a little less than a couple of weeks from Motor Week. So yeah, we're really excited down here in Newport.
Yeah, I was gonna kind of be a little low-key on this and start off with, there's a little something going on in Newport in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, a little something. If you want to call all the great manufacturers coming from around the world, all the greatest collector cars in the world, we've scoured the planet for amazing cars for one of the premier Concours d'Elegances that we think will be in the United States and right up there with the best in the world, going to be held here in Newport October 3rd through the 6th. So we can't wait. I mean, we've been working on this for nearly 2 years. The plan we've been talking about and putting together for a few years, and now it's actually coming to fruition, and we couldn't be more excited. And Newport's excited. I think New England's excited, and I think the country and the world are excited. So we're truly blessed to have a place like Newport to hold something like this, and we hope everybody will come and participate.
Yeah, I mentioned last week in my column in the Providence Journal that it looks like the Newport Concours d'Elegance is going to be the Pebble Beach of the East. If not, maybe even more than that, if it keeps on going the way it's going.
We hope. I mean, we're not, you know, we like to say we complement the other events around the world, and this event should be a complement on the Concours d'Elegance schedule. Each, you know, places like Pebble, Valladeste, Goodwood, you know, Amelia Island, all are great concours, and I think we can all complement each other in a different, you know, in a different way. Yep. So our event will be different than Pebble Beach, and Pebble Beach is different than ours. But we're building this to be something absolutely on par with Pebble or Valladeste or Goodwood or any of these great events around the world. And it's important to us that we put this event in that level. You know, this is a very serious Concours d'Elegance for very serious cars. But it's a lot of fun, too. We have a lot of fun things planned on each day, and we hope to grow this event year after year because this will be an annual event. This is just the first inaugural year, so people can look forward to this, we hope, for many, many, many years to come.
Well, let's start a little bit from the beginning. Let's talk a minute or two about the Audrain Museum. Newport is all, or the Newport area is all of a sudden car collector capital down there between, you know, Audrain's been there for a while, but I think this is really going to publicize Audrain a little bit too. But tell us a little bit about the Audrain Museum.
Yeah, the museum started about 5 years ago when our chairman was looking for an office for his businesses, and we had this beautiful downstairs basically gallery on Bellevue Avenue, and our chairman and his partners are big car collectors, and the idea was floated that he, you know, at first was just thrown out there like, oh, it'd be cool to put a car down here, you know, when people walk in. And from there, it quickly sprung to, hey, we should do a museum. And then that conversation sprung to, you know what, we should do a legitimate loot museum, make it a nonprofit, help support the community. And from there, you know, we change out the exhibitions about every 3 months, and we always try to curate something very, very special. Currently in the museum, we have the GM prototype show, Styling the Future, which is Harley Earl's greatest prototypes on loan to us from the Heritage Museum. So that in its own right has never been seen anywhere in the world at any car museum in the world. So that alone is worth coming to Newport to see. And then it turned into outreach to the community and doing Cars and Coffee. Like, I'm literally standing at Cars and Coffee right now at Fort Adams, and we have probably 400 cars here right now. And from that, we had always been working on this idea for doing a Motor Week and a Concours. And Newport, like you were saying, is proving to be a true car mecca for people, and we're proud to be facilitating that in Newport. And the community is really embracing it. You know, it's just such a fun way to get the families out, you know, and get the kids away from computers and cell phones and get them out and looking at art and looking at cars and enjoying the beauty that we have here in New England. And that's really the goal of this thing, is really to grow, support the community, and get young people involved as well.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, I got an email, this is probably a month or so ago, but it says, my brothers and I spent a pleasant Sunday at Audrain. All GM concept cars on loan from GM, really interesting, and we spent well over a couple hours looking at them. So, you know, nice words from people. And now take us a little bit through the, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday Motor Week event.
Yeah, so the event starts October 3rd, goes through the 6th, and on Thursday, the Concours Village, which is hosted at the International Tennis Hall of Fame, will be open to the public. You get a ticket, you go in, there's great vendors there, there'll be great art to see, there'll be amazing cars to see in there, including the new C8 Corvette. You'll see Aston Martin, you'll see Koenigsegg, you'll see Jaguar, you'll see Hyundai Genesis. You'll see great brands there. So Thursday is kind of opening day. You'll have brands on the lawns of some of the mansions, like Bugatti at Belcourt, McLaren down at Vernon Court, which is the National Illustration Museum. You'll have Porsche at the Newport Art Museum, and you'll have Lamborghini at the Redwood Library, which is the oldest library in America. That's all Thursday. Those are open all week long. And then Thursday night is our dinner for our entrants, the people who brought their cars from around the world. And that dinner is hosted by John O'Hurley from Seinfeld. He's going to do a dinner show, and Jay Leno will be there. And then Friday is some great symposiums in the theater at the Village. And then Friday night we have John Legend at the International Tennis Hall of Fame Stadium, which is going to be incredible. Then that leads to Saturday, where we're going to have the Tour d'Elegance, which is all the cars that are participating in the Concours d'Elegance are going to line up on the Newport Bridge, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. They're going to wind through scenic Newport. They're going to come out to Fort Adams, where we're going to have a Cars and Coffee, where the public is free to bring their car and display their car. They're going to continue out around Newport, around Ocean Drive. They're going to all end up lined up on Bellevue Avenue. Bellevue Avenue will be closed for 3 hours so the public can come in and see the Concours cars for free. And then more symposiums on Saturday, which then leads to the Audrain Automobile Museum Gala, which is with Jay Leno and Kenny Loggins and Don Osborne and John O'Hurley. And then it all ends up on Sunday, where we have the Concours d'Elegance at the Breakers Mansion, which cars will start rolling on the lawn at around 6 a.m., and the judging will start taking place around 9 a.m., and the Best in Show trophy should be awarded about 2 o'clock. But there is something amazing every day. A lot of this is free, so you don't have to worry about having a whole bunch of money in your pocket to come down and see great cars. There are ticketed events, like for the Concours and the Gathering, which I forgot to mention, which is a huge garden party at Doris Duke's Mansion, Rough Point, where there's going to be some amazing unveilings of brand new cars, like a worldwide unveiling by Aston Martin. We'll be unveiling a Bugatti there. So there's just lots and lots to see. So
I
encourage everybody to come down to Newport.
Yeah, it really sounds it. And I know I'm going to be broadcasting live from Cars and Coffee on Saturday. Then we're going to be doing a lot of Facebook Live with AAA and some other social stuff during the day on Saturday. Yep. So I know I'm really looking forward to being there. And I was on Thursday evening, I was talking with Wayne Carini of Chasing Classic Cars. And he said, you know, he's amazed how you guys have put this together and the amount of effort you put into this. And he's the same way. He's really looking forward to it being a fantastic event.
Yeah, Wayne is a great guy, great supporter of ours. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, just like Jay Leno. I've been working with Jay for a year and a half now on this event. Jay's excited. Don Osborne is here at Cars and Coffee right now. He works with Jay on Jay Leno's garage. Yep. We'll be here. Torque Show is going to be broadcasting live. We're going to be live streaming the event all 4 days, which is going to be great. And, you know, I should mention sponsors like AAA, who have just been fantastic. AAA is sponsoring the 30 under 30 class. That's in the actual Concours d'Elegance.
Yeah, and I think our chairman of the board maybe handed out the trophy or doing something with it, right?
Absolutely. And for those of you who don't know, we talked earlier about getting youth involved in what we're doing here, and we need to grow, we need to keep the hobby going. So we opened, actually it was Jay Leno's idea to do a class in the actual Concours on Sunday called 30 Under 30, which is for people under 30 years of age who haven't spent more than $30,000 on the restoration of their car, and it's an actual judged class in the Concours. But it's more important than that. It's an opportunity for families to work together on a car and get them onto the field at a Concours, get them into the hobby, you know, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to have a $1 million car to be at a Concours. And that's something very special, and AAA has been very generous in their support of that class. They're also supporting the Tour d'Elegance on Saturday. So AAA has been great. We have great sponsors that are supporting this event. That this event couldn't happen with our sponsors, and it couldn't happen without the support of the community in Newport as well.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a great thing. And for people who either have an interest in going or just want to watch learn more information, is there? Do you guys have a specific website or a deep link or something to go? Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You go to AudraineConcours.com, AudraineConcours.com. You can get the schedule, you can get tickets, you can just read about what's going on. You can get every bit of information there. Our contact is on there if you want to call the museum. We're here to answer your questions. We try to make it as easy as possible. You know, we just want families to come. We want people to come from all over New England. We know we have people coming from all over the world, but we really want our local community to support this and come be a part of it and help us grow this year after year. And, you know, it's our goal is to help a lot of the local charities here, and that's what we're trying to do with this event.
No, it sounds like a fantastic event and something of a class that I have never been to before. So I'm looking forward to checking it out on Saturday when I'm there. And, you know, maybe if the boss doesn't go to the Thursday night dinner, maybe I'll even get to go to that. So we'll see.
Maybe. I might be there.
All right. Hey, Rick, thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday. Enjoy a beautiful Saturday down in Newport at Cars and Coffee.
It's gorgeous.
All right.
Thank you, Tom. Right. I appreciate it so much, my friend.
All right. Take care.
See you next Saturday.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Well, it's not next Saturday, but in 2 Saturdays. So, I think, because he said, see you next Saturday, which would be the 29th, but it's not till the 4th or 5th. But that's fine. That's all good. But Newport has turned into, you know, really quite, there's 3 car museums in Newport area now. There's the Audraine, the Newport Car Museum, which technically isn't in Newport, and we're going to be talking to Gunther next week about how his museum is going to interact with the whole Motor Week thing, because it's such a big thing. And then there's kind of a private museum down there that just opens once in a while, which I didn't know about. Wayne Carini actually told me about it. So a lot of stuff going on in Newport, and nice to see. And, you know, I'm not a mansion person myself, but A lot of people like going. I do remember I went to a clam bake at the mansion that's owned by Arnold Schwarzenegger's ex-wife's family.
Shriver. Shriver, yeah.
And apparently he was sort of ticked off because he wanted to come down and spend the weekend at the mansion, and they rented it out.
Oops.
I wonder where he stays, like the Motel 6?
No.
I mean, I thought it was kind of funny. Let's talk about the car that got me around a little bit last week, and that is a sports car from Lexus. And when it comes to sports cars, Lexus isn't the first name that comes to mind, but maybe it should. The Lexus RCF is a V8-powered luxury sports coupe. The strong V8 engine develops 467 horsepower that connects to the rear wheels through an 8-speed shiftable automatic transmission. Safety is addressed with some of the latest advanced driver assistance features. Our test model is equipped with most of them: forward collision warning, blind spot monitoring, lane keeping assist, and so forth. The RCF sits slightly lower and wider than the RC Coupe. The F is their sportiest version, or one of its sportiest versions, till the 2020 model year comes out. Then there's even a sportier version. But it has wider wheels and tires. The signature Lexus spindle grille gets a black mesh treatment that uses the F motif repeated in the pattern. The RCF stacked exhaust tailpipes. Pretty interesting to look at when you see them. It's a little Star Wars looking-ish from the back with the stacked tailpipes. That's kind of how I got a look of it. And it sounded good. I wanted it to sound better. I wanted more burble, especially if you put it in sort of sportiest mode.
More low-end.
But it sounded okay. So you get to set the driving mode to your mood kind of thing. There's a drive selector feature. You can select from normal vehicle performance to sporty to even sporty plus, and it kind of sharpens the throttle response. Also, there is a setting where you actually can, and I don't know who would do this to an $85,000 car, but you can set it up for track mode or slalom mode. So if you wanted to autocross it, you could autocross it. I guess. I don't know who would do that, but I guess you could. And then, should you care about such things, there's an eco mode. So you can save money on gas.
Because at that price point, people who can afford that car can afford to fix the car.
Well, that's true. That's true. The trunk is a bit tight, but it has a pass-through for longer items such as skis. But it can fit a queen-size mattress topper in the back.
Yes, it can.
It can, because Dennis gave me a queen-size mattress topper, and we squished it in the back, and it did fit. So the remote touchpad uses a smartphone-like gestures, tap, flick, pinch, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I still found it a little bit more annoying than it should be. Moving the finger over the touchpad moves the cursor, pressing down, up, and down, moves things around. It was okay. It wasn't. I still find these, as much as all the car companies are trying to change the way drivers interact with the infotainment systems, they're still sometimes too distracting. And I was looking at a new Acura. Acura doesn't use the touch screen anymore. It uses a pad between the seats, and the pad between the seats is just there to, it's a direct reference. So you touch the top left, it touches the top left of the screen. You touch the top right, it touches the top right of the screen. So it works out pretty well to be able to adapt to the system. I kind of want everything supplemented with a couple of basic buttons and knobs just to make life a little bit easier. It's just me, but but overall, the Lexus RC F Coupe, it sounds good, it handles good, it rides, for a sports car, it rides very well. It's not uncomfortable at all, and it's sitting on good-sized tires, which usually are pretty stiff, but the electronic suspension system soaks up bumps pretty well. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, if you're looking at that price range of, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 cars, It is a car that You won't see every day on the road, and that's sometimes a problem. You go out and buy something, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be the only one with one of these, and in fact, sure enough, you're not. And that is sort of the case with this, which I think makes it a little bit unique. It does have a back seat. It's for kids or someone adult maybe you don't care for, but overall, it's a little bit different, and that's what I think makes it so unique and makes it pretty special. So, Lexus RCF V8 powered luxury sports car. If you're in that kind of look, next week we'll be a little bit more low key, talking about a Ford Edge, so kind of a SUV of sorts. We'll talk about that. I got an email from the radio station this week, and they asked me to read this, and I didn't know. It says, as hard as it is to believe, leprosy still exists. It does?
Apparently
it does. So when most of us think about leprosy, we think of biblical times, the story of the leper who Jesus healed. You know the story. There is 52 children a day are diagnosed with leprosy. An emotional, social, and physical impact of leprosy is huge. A woman stricken with leprosy who works in the marketplace will be shunned. A man whose head and feet are damaged with leprosy can no longer work in the fields and feed a family. A leprosy cure brings families back together. Fathers can share meals with their children. Children can hug their mothers and so forth. Salem Media Group partners every year with the American Leprosy Missions, and your donation of just $30 cures one child of leprosy. $30 saves a child's life from this horrible disease. Visit any one of our websites, WEZ Radio, WROL, and hit the banner to donate. So who knew that leprosy? I thought, didn't know anything about that, so...
I knew it still existed, but 52 children a day?
Yeah.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, I guess so. We are going to be doing trivia coming up. We are going to be, I got to sit down with Johnny Ketta. He is the vice president and brand manager of Acura. I got to spend a few minutes with him at the, it should be a monthly New England Motor Press meeting, but we had one last week too. So we're going to be talking with him hear me talking with him, I guess, because it's not live. I'm not going to pretend it's live because you can hear noise in the background. In fact, at one point, I try to hide in the corner of the building that we do the New England Motor Press meeting in, and twice now I've hidden in there to do the interview, and somebody comes flying in through this door to get some stuff done and knocks over the guest speaker for the evening. So I think John Ikeda is still going to be, he may still be, have a bruise in his shoulder from that. But why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we will do that. And we're also going to be doing maybe an Acura-based trivia question as well. My name is John Paul. This is a Car Doctor program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston.
Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
It really might be a ragtop day today, so if you have a convertible, it might be a good time to put that top down and go enjoy the day. Like I said earlier, I had time to... how often do you get to sit down with a vice president of something or other? But at this week's New England Motor Press meeting, I got to spend some time with John Ikeda. He's the vice president, and he's a pretty low-key guy. He's like, oh, I'm the brand manager for Acura. He's the vice president of Acura. He's pretty low key about the way he says it, though.
Like vice president of all of Acura.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
Like there's but only like he, but one he, but or he's two like, people above him.
Yeah, but he's like, I'm a brand manager. Well, and the vice president. I mean, he's kind of interesting guy. But I did have the time to kind of sit down with him, and as I was looking at the latest RDX and TLX, and to me, the designs look pretty timeless. And this is his response.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Well, one thing for sure, it's a delicate balance. I mean, I've been designing cars for a long time, but you got to push new. But then at the same time, if you go too far, exactly like you say, it could age very quickly. So you have to balance all that. I think a lot of that goodness comes from good proportions of the vehicle, and you got the right size tires, got some nice lines in there, and I think there's just enough new to be a lasting design.
Yeah. And so as we look at some of the newest models that just came out, you guys made quite a splash at Pebble Beach.
The Type S concept is that was a big moment for us. After I moved over to sales, we've been trying to revamp the brand a little bit and going back to roots, which is precision crafted performance. And performance has always been our key thing. You go back 30 years ago when we started this whole thing, you know, the impact car that the Honda Motors wanted to do in Japan to make an imprint, if you will, was the NSX, and with the all-in-one body and all of this. So that's where our focus was, and Acura has always been a performance division of Honda. That's how it was developed. So, you know, getting back into the groove of things, if you will, we've refocused. We brought our Halo vehicle back, the NSX, you know, 4 years ago, and as we go forward, the Type S concept was to let everybody know we're not just about one supercar and race cars. We're going to bring a lot of that performance goodness into our core models, and there's a good hint of what the next generation TLX will look like.
So does that mean there's a little NSX in every Acura now?
It should.
Yeah.
It should. From now on, you know, whatever, you know, if you're an enthusiast, you want that performance back, there's a lot of warm and fuzzies with cars we've built in the past. Your Legend, Integras, you know, there's a lot of people that are still there. I always talk to them in the context of, you know, where you been, they'll come and say, you know, it's been a while. But yeah, thanks for keeping the lights on. We're back. We're focused on performance, and Type S, you know, is another part of the equation,
and,
if you will.
Yeah, and it did seem like a little bit there that we thought of Acura as a luxury car, not necessarily a sporty car. And, you know, the idea that, is it a sports sedan? I'm not so sure. But now it sounds like some of that focus is coming back.
Absolutely. I mean, we're 30 years old. At the end of the day, we're still only 30 years old.
Yep.
We're competing with people that have been around a lot longer.
Right.
But, you know, it's like with anybody. I remember when I was in my 20s, you know, coming out of school, there's some weird haircuts that I'm not proud of. But you do a little bit of wandering and soul searching. But at 30, we're pretty very clear about what our strengths are.
Okay.
And performance is what we're about. And so we're refocused on that. And it's going to show up in all of our vehicles.
Yeah. So, you know, coming out for the 2020 model year, what are you most proud of?
Well, it's going to be a big year for us. We have in plan two models to be coming out. I don't want to get too much into it.
It's going to be radio, so nobody can actually see it. So, yeah.
but yeah, we have a lot of new cars coming up in 2020.
Yeah.
You know, big players for us. We run a very lean and efficient lineup. You know, we talk about four core models here, right? And so imagine, you know, just two is as half of our core models right there. So it's going to be an exciting year for Acura for sure. And all of this setup that we've been working on for the past 4 years here, you know, recalibrating, well, it's a performance brand, will show up. And you'll be easy to understand that we're focused on these new cars.
Yeah, and engine design that's current, the parent company Honda has, you know, really embraced turbocharging. Back a while back, there was a four-cylinder turbo in your SUV. And
original RDX, yes.
Yeah, and it was sort of, people didn't truly accept it that much. Are we looking more at turbocharging now as we're going into the Acura lineup? Or
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we have to look at performance as well as, you know, regulatory things and fuel mileage. All of those things are coming in. So you're seeing other OEMs, you know, in there also. Yep. But, one thing for sure about Acura, we're going to tune these things so that they do, you know, they do proper in terms of dynamics and excitement. We've committed to a V6 turbo, also that's going to be coming in. I won't say specifically, but you know, if you're talking Type S, and you could put the numbers together, right, and you kind of know what we're
kinda
up to.
And you know, everybody's in the EV market or plug-in hybrid market at some point. It seems like every manufacturer needs to be there for both their customers and the environment. How is Acura kind of embracing that?
Well, right now, obviously we have work with our parent companies, right, get in there, and they're doing these things, and they also understand that we're a performance portion of it. But currently, I mean, whether it's the RLX or the MDX or the NSX, they're hybrid vehicles. One thing I do really like about the NSX and it being unique and hybrid was, in the beginning, it was like, I'm not lying to you, everybody, even on R&D, we're going to do an NSX, and people were talking hybrid, and we couldn't understand it. But what we are proud of is our all-wheel drive system, the SHEWD system, and how will that play out when we electrify the NSX. And over time, our engineers and developing that vehicle started to realize that you could do very special things with electric motors that are very exciting, and make cars behave a little bit differently. And even though it's a heavier vehicle than maybe the original one, it still drives very lightly. And because of these things that we could do with these, you know, when you play around with electricity a little bit more. And so, for Acura, we're definitely going to be in the business of electrification. But I will say this much, whatever it's electrified, you know, what's the Type S of that car going to be doing? You know, those are things that people are looking into right now, and it's a very, very exciting time.
So were you even slow to embrace the idea of electrification? Were you thinking, you know, naturally aspirated or turbocharged, and then were you talked into it?
Well, I mean, as a car enthusiast, obviously we like smell, we like sound, you know, I have old cars too, but it's at the same time, I was, you know, I was a designer, so I'm always been taught to look into the future, right? And when you're thinking about future, a lot of things are cloudy, so people, you know, they don't want to give up what they know. But at the same time, there's an opportunity for very special things to happen. And I think with all the OEMs looking into this, there's going to be some shifting of the paradigm, if you will. But I think mobility could be very exciting with an electrified, area. It's, you know, people still, you know, ride horses. And enjoy doing stuff. But, you know, things evolve and technologies keep coming, and things will change and mobility will change. But as it approaches, you know, from our perspective, you know, we've always been known as an innovative company. So we're not afraid to look forward. And Acura's no different there.
So the future is bright for Acura.
I would hope so. I believe so. I'm very passionate about the brand, and we have a lot of people that are passionate about the brand behind it. And, you know, you go out and you meet with people that are in the NSX Club of America or other enthusiasts, you know, Type R guys, all of this, you look at it, you know, we're all excited because we focus on performance. And that's the key thing here, is that we should be able to have a future with mobility where it's still fun. And at the end of the day, it should be fun.
So a future with mobility that's still fun.
Absolutely.
You sold me.
No, it has to be. Why else do it?
That's right.
Why else do it?
Thanks very much.
And that was John Aketa. He is the vice president of Acura. And that was part of our monthly New England Motor Press meeting, where we get together with a lot of people. In fact, that's where I was chatting with Wayne Carini the other night, because talking about the whole Newport Concours d'Elegance event. And I think he's a judge, and he's doing a seminar or something, is what he was telling me. So pretty good stuff. And, of course, the other guy I see there is John Bugsy Sebastian Lawler, who is, if you listen to NPR and you listen to those the guys, that the two brothers that used to be on Car Talk, well, there's only one brother left, but John's the technical, spiritual, and menu advisor for the program. And saw Ray Malyazzi 2 weeks ago. So we were chatting about a bunch of stuff. So a lot of things happen at the New England Motor Press meeting. And I think sometimes manufacturers kind of look at Boston and they don't realize they can have a meeting, 25 people show up, and they have the ability to talk to 25 people with, in a lot of cases, multiple outlets that they do things for. Craig Fitzgerald, who was on last week, you know, is the editor of Best Ride for Gatehouse's auto section. He is writes for Subaru Magazine. He writes for a couple other publications. So, you know, people sometimes kind of write Boston off as, you know, it's not New York, it's not L.A., it's not Miami. Yeah, you got a lot of people doing a lot of stuff here. So important for the car manufacturers to remember that. Okay, a little multiple choice trivia, because I think it would be too hard to figure it out without multiple choice.
And wait. You're making it multiple choice?
Yeah.
Like, so you're going to say, is it A, B, or C, and not there's not multiple correct answers?
There's not multiple correct answers.
Okay.
So here's how it's going to work. You call in at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030, and you need to identify the following, or you need to identify an accurate slogan, and I will give you one of four slogans, and it's your job to pick out the slogan, the one that was actually used in one of their advertisements. So it's an accurate slogan, and the prize will be, I don't know, the prize will be something. The prize will be some AAA stuff. So just some fun little stuff, a tire gauge, a couple of koozies, maybe an umbrella, a whole variety pack of AAA branded things that I'm stealing from the closet at work. So, but all you have to do is give us a call at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030, and say to Dennis, hey, Dennis, I want to play. And you do that, and we'll give you a prize. Maybe. I was going to say a AAA membership certificate. No. I want to say yes, but I don't know if I have one because they gave me like a, you know, half a dozen or something. I don't want to say I have it if I don't. But I do have other stuff. So you'll get all kinds of stuff. You get a whole little envelope of fun little AAA things, hand sanitizer, a ruler, all kinds of stuff that has AAA's name on it. So give us a call at 617-770-3030.
Basically all the stuff you can kind of get if you go to the AAA Travel Show, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah. You know, jar openers, the rubber things, a whole variety of stuff.
All
so,
say AAA on it.
Yeah, all say AAA on it. So give us a call at 617-770-3030. And again, it's multiple choice. So which of the following has been an accurate slogan? Should I give them out yet? What do you think?
It's your show, your trivia.
You're the producer.
I don't know how you're doing this. So
you're the producer.
I'm just going along with it.
Well, okay, I'll give them out.
Okay.
So people can think about it ahead of time. But it's not that hard. So which of the following has been an accurate slogan? The power to surprise. Never follow. The road will never be the same. Or beauty is not enough. So if you know which one of those is the accurate slogan, was an accurate slogan, you know what those are.
Heck, I know the answer to this one.
617-770-3030. 617-770-3030. Which one of these is the slogan? Never follow. The power to surprise. The road will never be the same. Or beauty is not enough. And you will get a prize. You might even get a book. Because when we moved our office, I lost my books. I had a bunch of books that, you know, people would send to me, and I'm not a reader, so I kind of usually what I like to do is, you know, if you listen to the show, I interview the author, and then I try to pretend I actually read the book, when in fact usually all I've done is glance through it and read some of the chapters, and so kind of figure it out from there. So there is some recalls that GM is facing in the past 5 summers, General Motors has dedicated a week to redoubling its commitment to safety and burying the culture that allowed deadly ignition switch defects to go unchecked. The latest global safety week included unplanned reminders of the challenge GM is facing with consequences of inaction just before Mary Barra told employees on a company-wide broadcast to make safety's daily priority and every minute priority. Regulators disclosed GM is recalling nearly 3.5 million large pickups and SUVs for brake issues. The defect is tied to 113 crashes, 13 injuries, hundreds of complaints, most of which have poured in since the federal regulators at NHTSA opened the investigation. It's one of the largest recalls by any automaker since the ignition switch defect surfaced in 2014. We've dedicated ourselves to work together to solve this problem, and they'll go to figure it out from there. So, and also there was some concerns from people about what Honda is doing with some of their new turbocharged engines, and it looks like those issues have been solved. We'll get into that in just a little bit too. But right now, did we lose one and gain one? Where are we? Peter, I think, right? Let's talk to Peter. Good morning, Peter.
Hello.
Hi, JP.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Yes. Well, I kind of narrowed it down to two. Sort of was going back and forth with it, trying to remember.
More importantly, are you going to go to the Newport Concours d'Elegance and go see John O'Hurley and Jay Leno and Donald Orsbon? I think if you buy the ticket that covers everything, so the gala,
that?
The other event, the other big fancy schmancy event, it's about $3,000.
Well, that's.
But if you just want a regular ticket, it's 15, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that's free.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it would be great, but unfortunately, I've got to do some work. But anyway.
Oh yeah, well, work's tough. It's tough when work gets in the way. So.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
Well, anyway,
you have a 50-50 shot in your mind. I will go over them again. And you pick
right.
one, okay?
Okay.
So which
yeah.
of the following has been an Acura slogan? Never follow. The power to surprise. The road will never be the same. Or beauty is not enough.
Yeah. Well.
You got one shot. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. The road will never be the same.
You're right.
it was a toss-up.
Yeah, you are correct. The road will, and I got to tell you, I didn't remember that one when I first read this. I was going with the power. I was going with the power to surprise.
Oh, really?
That's what I was thinking. Well, that's what I was thinking.
Well, was that from some other car company? Or?
To me, it sure sounds it, but it might have been.
Yeah.
It was from another car company.
Who was it?
I want to say it was Infiniti or it was Toyota. One of the two.
Probably Infiniti.
Well, it's...
Yeah. Well, Dennis has a good memory for slogans.
Know who the power to surprise? Kia.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Kia, of all people.
Kia.
Yes,
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so...
They're not known exactly for their horsepower.
Well, yeah, but they got hamsters. Or they had hamsters. I think they laid the hamsters off, but yeah, so... But,
Prius is faster than your basic Kia, but Kias are good cars.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. In when I owned a Kia once, I didn't really know the model very well, and when I looked it up, there in a lot of cases in other parts of the world, like Australia, the Kia Sorento is considered a luxury SUV.
Really?
Yeah, I was so surprised. Yeah, it's also powered by diesel. But anyway, all right, Peter, stay right there, and Dennis will get your address down, and we'll send you out.
Powered by Koala.
I'm sorry? Powered by Koala.
Powered by Koala Bears.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. How'd you know? Yep. We'll send you that out. All right. Stay right there.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Dennis will do that, and I'll do something else. He looks confused.
Brian, we have a winner. Do you want to stay on the line and talk to him? Or?
So anyway, so if you have plenty of money, Ferrari is rolling out some hard tops on its F8 Spider and 812 GTS. So
Peter, what's your?
So we have a lot of things going on. We'll set Dennis's microphone off so he knows what's going on. So, but Ferrari said it's going to put a hard top, oddly enough, on its. But it's F8 and the latest model. So the F8 Spider is the roadster version of the F8 eight-cylinder turbocharged mid-engine coupe. It's going to be unveiled in March and at the Geneva Auto Show. So if you have that kind of money, you can go out and buy one. So, but when you don't have that kind of money and you're concerned about, hey, I'm thinking about buying a Honda, and I'm concerned about these oil consumption issues. Jim Henry, who writes for a lot of different publications, including Automotive News, American Honda Company is working to stay ahead of potential consumer complaints related to a possible engine oil problem in hundreds of thousands of CRVs and Civic models that have the 1.5-liter turbocharged engine. That's the car I drove a couple weeks ago. On some of the affected engines, Honda says fuel could dilute the oil. And Honda plans to send customers letters stating this month to make sure that they're aware the company is offering remedies that include software updates and limited extensions of powertrain warranties. So they're going to take care of whatever it takes. They're doing the right thing, according to Honda dealer Tim Higgins. Higgins told the Fixed Ops Journal that some of vehicle owners have called the dealership with questions about the dilution issue since it surfaced last year, but he said zero customers have brought their cars in to the dealership for service because of the matter. And the people I have talked to and have written stories about in the Boston Globe and the Province Journal and asked people whether they've had problems, and no one has. So this April, Honda added a limited warranty extension for as many 1 million vehicles in 50 states. Even though the automakers say it doesn't expect to encounter complaints in warm weather markets, the extension provides an additional year coverage on some powertrain components for 6 years from the purchase, with no mileage limits. Completion of the software update campaign is progressing well, according to Honda spokesman Chris Martin. A recall of the affected vehicle is not under consideration, Martin says, because this doesn't represent a safety issue. The CRV campaign is further along since it began sooner. According to Honda, more than 190,000 CRVs, about 81% of eligible total, have gotten the update. Again, it's an update, and one of the reasons, if you drive in cold weather in very short distances, so if you're somebody who lives a mile from the T, driving back and forth that mile could be a problem. So, Honda extends the powertrain warranty again from 6 years, unlimited miles from 5 years and 60,000, but only for certain parts and only for certain conditions that could be related to oil dilution problems. So if you're thinking about buying one and you're concerned that it's a problem, I wouldn't be concerned. I don't think it's a problem. And when I was driving the Honda Civic with that same engine that could be an issue, I pulled the dipstick just out of curiosity, just to see if it smelled like gas. Nothing. So, and it had been a while. I think we're going to Brian. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I understand Dennis mentioned to me you had a winner.
Yeah, we have a winner. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Yep. Better luck next time.
Yep.
You know, that Kia and Hyundai, they put out nice products now, and they're the same car company.
They are, and I mean, I've had actually four different Hyundais now that I think about it.
SUVs, John?
Well, years ago, when Hyundai first came out, when they had the Excel, it was a horrible little car. It really was.
Was that the one that was standard, like a 4-5
feet standing on the floor?
Yeah. And it was, and it rusted out, and it used an engine that they actually got from Mitsubishi. And what would happen is there was one of the, it used something called a jet valve engine. So it had this, instead of having an intake and exhaust valve, it had an intake and exhaust and a what they called a jet valve. And the jet valve would pump hot gas into the engine to make it burn cleaner. And what happened is the valve ended up melting and the engine quit running. And, and also the doors all rotted off of them for some reason.
These are like, it was like a rust bucket.
But as Dennis pointed out, it had a great radio.
Yeah, it was a Pioneer radio at the time.
Yeah, Pioneer Radio, yeah.
So, yeah, Pioneer Radio. Yeah. I think they were made in Melrose, Massachusetts, I think.
They may have been.
Yeah, could have been. Who knows? But
I remember going there one time and buying, that was back in the day when they had those, so sorry to outdate myself, but 8-track tapes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Then it went to cassettes. Now everything is CDs.
Yeah. And then some cars don't have CD players anymore. They just have a place to plug in your phone so you can take your MP3 music with you. But then what happened when they came out with they went to fuel injection and they came out with a little two-door coupe called a Scoop. And we had a Scoop. And it was a little 5-speed manual transmission car. And it actually, kind of a funny story, it was a lemon law car. It was a car that was bought back because the person said it had a reoccurring valve cover leak that they couldn't fix. That wasn't really what was wrong with it.
It was more internal.
No, it had the owner apparently kept loosening up the valve cover to make it leak. What really was wrong with the car, they got in some kind of a car accident with it. And they had it fixed, and then they didn't want to make their payments.
Oh, I see.
But they kept saying, oh, no, it's got an oil leak. It's got an oil leak. I bought the car pretty reasonably. It never had a leak. But here's where that story gets a little funny. I went to go look at the car. It was out somewhere in the western part of the state. Went to go look at the car, talked to the salespeople, and I was buying it. I was buying it kind of through Hyundai, sort of. And I went out to look at the car. I told the dealership I'll buy the car. I came back a week later, went to get in the car. And, of course, you know, one of the tires is almost flat, and it had no gas in it. So I went over to the neighborhood gas station near the dealership, filled the tire up with air, filled the car up with gas, and I went to reach over to turn the radio on. And there was no radio in the car. So I drive back to the dealership, and I said, hey, what happened to the radio in this? It had a radio in it. And the sales manager says to me, well, someone must have stole the radio out of the car. And I'm like, well, they were awful nice about it, because when they did, they put the faceplate back on to cover the hole in the dash.
Right.
And they were like, oh. So he calls somebody else up in the dealership and says, which one of your guys stole the radio and speakers out of that lemon law car? Because back then, when you buy an inexpensive car like a Hyundai, it came with a radio prep package, and it may have not come with a radio. So that's what they did. They had a car they were going to sell. They pulled the radio out of this one. So I said to the sales manager, I'm like, I'm not coming back here. I said, have one of your guys go through everything this car is going to need. Speakers, a radio. They broke the dash when they were doing it. They cracked the dash. The more I looked at it, the more stuff was wrong with it. And I said, order everything and just send it to me, and I'll put it all in.
Yeah, the guy's like,
you'll do that? And I said, yeah, because I don't want to. I took half a day off to come out here to get this thing. I can't do that again. So I got this big box in the mail with a bunch of plastic pieces and stuff, and the only thing they didn't send me was the ashtray. So I glued the ashtray shut, and that was the last time my wife smoked in a car. Because she couldn't open the ashtray because it was glued shut. So yeah.
Yeah. Now there's no more ashtrays or cigarette lighters.
No, there isn't. There isn't. And then a little bit later on. I ended up with a Hyundai Elantra, which was a great car, and I sold it to one of my wife's coworkers for her son. And I saw her son one day somewhere, and I said, "Hey, how's that Hyundai doing?" He said, "Oh, it was great till it caught on fire."
And
that's what I said. And I said, what happened? And he goes, well, you know, the car was getting kind of old and the muffler fell off. And he said, I never bothered to get it fixed. And the exhaust actually was aimed right up at the bottom of the trunk and it started the carpet on fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then, I think we had no Hyundais for a little bit and we bought a Kia Sorento. That was a pretty good car. And then we got rid of the Kia Sorento and bought a Hyundai Santa Fe, which I had for about 11 years. But I only put about 80,000 miles on it. I sold it to a coworker. Never do that, by the way. I sold it to a coworker, and her family drove, in 13 months, her family drove it 35,000 miles. And
wow.
And she had some problems along the way with it, which she never blamed me for, but she had some problems along the way with it. And her daughter got very lucky, actually. Her daughter got distracted by something and drove into the back of a landscape truck and totaled the car. But if she was driving one of the family's other two vehicles, she probably would have got badly hurt. This Hyundai actually sort of saved her life. So,
yeah,
she didn't get hurt at all. She a little bit of a bruise, but nothing else. But all the airbags went off. But if she was in the family's Toyota Corolla, for instance, where that car sat lower to the ground,
right,
and she got this, you know, the landscape truck would have probably come right through the windshield. So,
oh, sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So she actually got pretty lucky with that. So, and then last year I bought another Hyundai. So I bought a Hyundai Santa Fe Sport because I knew they were being discontinued and they were priced reasonably. And all I was looking for was something that was, you know, new, had a good warranty, and, was in had all wheel drive, because you know I still have to drive back and forth to work in the winter. So
yeah, that's my Santa Fe. They canceled that outright, John.
They replaced the Santa Fe Sport with they went back to just calling it a Santa Fe, and the new one, the one for 2019, they did a really nice job with it, but you know the prices are more expensive. And so they used to have a Santa Fe and a Santa Fe Sport. The Santa Fe was a bigger three-row version. So what they did is they said, we're going to just call it a Santa Fe, and then we're going to come out with a bigger version, which they did. So,
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, right now, you know, it's kind of interesting because Hyundai and Kia, I bet if you really looked at the car companies, financially across the world, I don't know how profitable they are, but Hyundai itself is a gigantic corporation that owns everything from electronics manufacturing to they build oil tankers to textile manufacturing. They're a huge company in South Korea. So,
They're into a lot. They ship it too. They have tankers.
They don't just own tankers. They make tankers. So.
They manufacture them as well, John.
So
that's like Volvo too. They have heavy equipment.
Oh yeah, when Volvo sold their car line, they sold their car line to a different company, but they kept the heavy equipment and they kept their truck business separate. The more you look into these companies, they don't really, you know, they don't really necessarily own just one thing. They own multiple different types of things, and that's what allows them to be able to, you know, do the work that they do. Yeah.
Monopoly in businesses.
Something like that. Yeah.
John, I missed Jay Leno's new show. It was on a couple of weeks ago on a CNBC channel, but it was kind of late at 10 o'clock. I forgot to tape it.
Yeah. To me, I have to be, I hate to say it, I usually go to bed by 10:30. So the one thing I did see, he was talking about, he was previewing the show somewhere, and somebody asked him about electric cars, and he said, he had a really good quote. He said, I think in 20 or so years, gasoline cars are going to be like stick shift cars now. They're going to still be around, but they're going to be around in a very limited basis, and most everything's going to be electric. And I don't know if it's going to be real electric or hydrogen electric, but you know, there's every single car manufacturer, including, you know, when we were talking with John Aketa earlier, every car manufacturer is looking towards electrification. Nissan has just introduced something. either plug-in hybrids. If you live in London, you can't go into the city unless you have an alternative fuel or electric or plug-in hybrid car. If you do go into the city, you're taxed at a really high rate if you go in with a gasoline car. So, you know, there, electrification is, you know, looks like it's on its way. I still kind of wonder where we're going to make all the electricity. But
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, John, I got a quick question for you. You know, I got a loan a car from the Ford dealer because my car was tied up a couple of days. And they gave me this hybrid that it goes from electric to gas when you step off the gas accelerator, brake, vice versa. They're going to be going through a lot of starters with them. Is that all computerized?
No, it depends. It's some car companies do it different than others. Mazda, for instance, uses a special, they call it I-loop. GM on some of the airs, it's not actually the starter that starts the car. It's like this big generator under the hood that actually uses a belt drive that starts it. My big concern is going to be more battery life. I kind of wonder how the battery is going to hold up over time. So,
right over time, yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
That's cell phones.
Yeah.
I remember some of these older cars years ago, John. They used to give you everything on the dashboard. Now they give you the idiot lights. You know, you had I used to like that battery.
So you knew what was going on. But yeah, we're doing some testing at our National Engineering Office now about battery life on these cars, these mild hybrids that shut off. I got to tell you, with a few exceptions, Jeep has one that uses a great big 42-volt battery to start it up, and that you don't even, when it shuts off, it shuts off, but as soon as you push the gas pedal, it fires right up and you don't even notice. But most of the time, and the Ford that I'm driving right now shuts off like that, the first thing I do is find the switch to disable it. I find it annoying, but that's just me.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, always great to talk to you.
But, you know, I was even on a public bus one day, and that did the same thing. The new buses do the same thing as the other car, manufacturer of automobiles, too.
It's kind of funny. I was talking to somebody from one of the bus companies about hybrid buses, and they said, by going to hybrids, we've doubled our fuel economy. They went from 2 to 4.
Wow, that's awesome. Gallon.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, that's all those.
One that's worth it for them.
Yeah, I said, that's all those buses get is 2 miles of the gallon. Jeez.
Yeah.
Hey, always great talking to you.
Likewise.
All right. All right. Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep. Bye bye.
617-770-3030. 617-770-3030. Phone lines are open if you want to join us.
Couple things.
Okay.
Battery life. Look at cell phones. When cell phones first came out, you could barely get an hour out of their batteries. So who knows what happens with the cars as time goes on and technology catches up to it.
Yeah, but it's also, it's technology, right? The batteries have gotten better, I think. But it's also, when your phone is on 1G, your battery life goes downhill.
Yes.
You know, so, and the other part was, like cars, the first phones were analog.
Yep.
I am hardly a leading edge person when it comes to buying the first of anything. I bought the first cell phone. There was something I found fascinating about having a cell phone. And it was a handheld. It wasn't a bag phone. It was a handheld phone. And it was made by a company called Satellite Technology Systems. And it was a little bit different than everybody else's.
It had that big wire, the big antenna on the back, right?
It had a little rubber antenna, a little rubber duck antenna. But their claim to fame was it used a battery from a camcorder, so batteries were readily available. The problem is it was like all phones today. It was 0.6 watt when all the other cell phones were 3 watts. You know, unless you were standing under a tower, it didn't work.
Yes.
And that was the same with Radio Shack came out with one about a year later. Motorola came out with their Motorola Brick, they called it. I had one of those too.
We got to call that gala.
Yeah.
When are the cars actually displayed? Is it on?
It's kind of ongoing from Thursday night till Sunday.
So the cars are on display the whole time?
Yeah. So, okay. So they're going to be at mansions. They're going to be at you know, the Cars and Coffee event that I'll be at on Saturday, and hopefully weather's great, but that's the event I'm going to be at on Saturday. They usually have, they usually on a normal day have 200 or 300 cars there on a normal Saturday. And so I would think at this event, especially where they're going to shut down the bridge and they're going to do a parade lap at sunrise, and it's going to be a big deal. So I don't believe I've ever been to anything this fancy.
All right, good. And finally, you know, my my friend who called in about the sensor on his brand new Kia.
Yep.
They fixed it. You want to know how they fixed it?
Sure.
And now, mind you, his wife, who also listens to the show a lot, works at Rogers Jewelers.
Yep.
And so.
Did I meet her?
You did not meet her.
Okay.
Well, you met her years ago.
Okay.
But not recently.
Okay.
They had to fix it with a wire of white gold.
White gold,
because it was something with the way it has to, the current has to go through it. It goes through it a lot easier.
White gold, huh? Now people are going to be stealing the wire.
Yep.
White gold, interesting. Our phone number 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Mike in Hingham. Michael.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Kyle?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, thanks. Two quick questions. One, are you going to be up at the NSX deal they're having in Hinscombe Field this Friday?
Yes.
You are going to be
I think
there.
So. Oh, I think so.
If you are, if you're there, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. How's that sound?
I heard there's I heard there's cocktails and heavy hors d'oeuvres.
That's what I hear, too. Yeah. I hear that if you, after 6 o'clock, you got to take you may have to take a breathalyzer test
to drive the car. Well, they already told me I can't drive the car because apparently all the drive slots have been taken. But
you can ride with me.
But I don't know why, but I am fascinated by the Honda Jet.
That's what I want to see. You're great. Right. I want to see that too. I've seen a great picture of it.
Yeah. So I talked to the PR person for Honda and said, hey, can you put me on the list? And he said he will. So
I look forward to meeting you again while I'm there.
Yeah.
Hey, second question is, what happened with Prime and Rosenberg's? Around here, the dealers went out. The Globe had pretty light reading on it. Is there a story behind the story on that?
You know, the Hyundai dealer where I bought my car, Hyundai South, closed their store here in the one in Saco, Maine. The other ones, the Prime Collection there up on Route 1 in Norwood or Westwood, you know, the Audi and Porsche and Mercedes and all seem to be fine. What happened, and it's a whole funny story that I probably don't know all the parts to, but Ira Rosenberg, who owned Ira Toyota years ago, sold the dealership. And then David Rosenberg decided to go back in the dealership business, and he bought the Toyota dealership in Westwood, I think. And I think he bought a couple of things. And then as soon as it was kind of weird, as soon as he bought it, the old owner had a heart attack and died.
Wow.
I think that may have been the beginning of the Prime name. And then they sold the business, and then they somehow bought it back. And then they started with all of these different dealerships. And then most recently, they bought 30 dealerships in New Jersey. And this is where I don't know how factual I am, but they bought it with some finance money that may have been questionable. So I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it sounds like whoever the financier was of the 30 dealerships, the 30 new dealerships, there was something going on. So I don't know why, you know, it was my impression when I was at the Hyundai dealership in Rockland, now right next door to where they built a brand new Volvo dealership right next door, they were selling cars and they were servicing cars. So they looked to be pretty successful. So I don't, know, you know, I don't know what the story was. Now, I don't know if Hyundai did some. It was odd they closed two Hyundai dealerships. Unless there was some thought that they just want to get away, you know, they just want to go more luxury. But I can't imagine they would have spent, you know, built a $25 million building and then decided to say it's not working out.
Yeah, if you're gonna drop a brand, Hyundai isn't the brand to drop. I mean, I could see Volvo or something like that, but not that.
Yeah, and Volvo, you know, they just took the plastic wrap off the building over there. So I mean, it was kind of weird. So I don't know what it has to do with, and I don't know if it's got something to do with the financing of these new dealerships. But there was something the FTC or somebody got involved, and like I said, I'm kind of there's a lot of holes in the story that I don't know enough about. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, I appreciate you giving me that much, and I look forward to seeing you Friday.
All right, take care. Bye
bye.
Oh yeah, we're going to Hanscom on Friday. Just so you know.
Gee, thanks.
All right. Hey, it's hors d'oeuvres. Heavy hors d'oeuvres. And I don't know what heavy hors d'oeuvres actually mean, but it was described as heavy hors d'oeuvres. So,
I'm afraid.
Yeah, so that's my plan. I plan on going. So why don't we take a break? If you want to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030. That's how you get through. Talk to me maybe about a car problems. We can look up some stuff. We can do all kinds of things. We can tell you maybe what's wrong with it. Every once in a while, I'm right. In fact, we have a couple of pending questions from this morning's Globe and Journal, where I was back in the Globe this morning, as opposed to last week that the Globe said I was in the Globe. It just wasn't there. This time, I'm actually there. So, we'll be right back. Any idea? Nothing?
No.
I was thinking a little Sonomatics, but I wasn't, you know, kind of.
Well, it's interesting because it chose two Cadillac songs on the way out and on the big black Cadillac.
Yep.
And then this one. There's a lot of songs about Cadillacs.
Well, Joe Ligotti and I were talking about this on Wednesday, that he believes, and I can't disagree with him, the Cadillac's mistake of going smaller, people think of, especially, you know, people like Joe, Cadillacs are big. They're flashy.
Yes.
That's why people bought them. That's why the Escalades sell so well.
Yes.
You know, the Cadillac little coupe, not so well. You know, they came out with that little kind of two-door Cadillac XLR, which was really a Chevy Volt.
And they also killed themselves in the 90s with that awful Northstar engine.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Which was referred to by the Cadillac folks as the 4100 fall-apart engine. the other part of it was people that had those cars would come into a dealership for an oil change, and they'd come over to you and go, hey, Dennis, you brought your car in for an oil change. We found a little something wrong with it while you're here. Here's a loaner car. Come back in a couple days. And they would put an engine in. And they didn't tell anybody. They would just say, oh, it had a little bit of oil leak. And they would literally take the engine out, put another engine in. And because they didn't want to say that their engines were all defective. But then in the end, though, when they came out with like the second generation Northstar engine, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but it get that thing right. If you're putting in, I understand if you're doing a design change and you have to change it in the second year, but if you're doing an engine change, make sure that thing works right the first time.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that tends to be a case way too often.
Yes.
George Kennedy, who's been on the show a couple of times, and I think maybe on again coming up soon. Him and I think we were at the Boston Auto Show. And it turned into, and it didn't, we didn't mean it to be, but it turned into sort of GM bashing. We were kind of going over all the cars that GM started off that were a mess. And just as they got them right, they discontinued it.
Yes, all the
time. The Buick Riata was actually, the Buick Riata in its end, 3800 engine, bulletproof engine. They came out with a convertible version, made it kind of nice. But when they first came out with it, it wasn't so good. And then, you know, the Fiero, good old Pontiac Fiero, when they first came out with that, it was awful. And at the end, when it had the V6 in it, and it had that kind of fastback roof, it was actually a really neat little car. So, yeah, I know somebody who bought a Corvette, and they stopped driving it. Because they just got so disgusted with it because the engine block was porous. And they went to a new design, and they were like, you can't even do that? That's a simple thing. You know, it was the same small block that they've been building since the 50s, and you decided to change it, and when you changed it, you made something really stupid wrong with it. And how do you... So it kind of turned into this kind of thing. And in fact, when I used to go to the General Motors tech school, the training school, one of the lead instructors, his father-in-law wanted to buy a Cadillac, and he said to him, go buy a Buick. You can get all the same stuff in it, and you're going to have a car that's not going to be a problem. So, but if you think about that, you say, okay, could Cadillac get by with a sporty car? Well, they tried that. They tried that ELR, which was the hybrid, which was stupid. They tried the XLR, which was used a Corvette drivetrain, and it was a two-seater convertible. First off, it looked like someone made it.
Cut in half Cadillac.
Well, it looked kind of like someone made it with Lego blocks.
Yes.
It was very angular and square and edgy. You had the sharp edges on it, and it had a weird proportion. It looked really wide.
Yeah, it looked like a cut-in-half Cadillac.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It looks like they took a Cadillac, the long way. It was weird looking, and you kind of looked at it and said, "What? They really thought that looked good?" But then you look at a 58 Cadillac with the ridiculously high tail fins, but people still look at that car and go, "It's weird, but it's nice," and... I know somebody who's buying a two-door Fleetwood. They only made it for a year, which was a weird car, and it has a 4100 engine in it. But they're like, it's so different, I kind of want to buy it. And John Lawler has a 62 Fleetwood Brougham Delegance, speaking of Delegances, and that was a car that my nephew was going to, that was going to be his wedding car, but it rained too hard and we didn't use it that day. So it was... But that was the last of the hand-built Cadillacs. That was a Cadillac that was kind of built by hand, and it was really kind of a nice car. Somebody wrote to me, just emailed me and said, there was a last week in the Globe, it said something about converting something to an electric car, and I want more information about it. How do I access the article in the Globe? Well, you can't. But with a little bit of work... If you Google the Yankee Express, is a nice little weekly shopper-style paper out in the Blackstone Valley area. and they do like four or five different versions of the Yankee Express. And Barbara, who runs the Yankee Express, usually carries my column. So you may find it out there if you look hard enough. I always supply a little more column than most people use. For instance, this morning in the Boston Globe, I think it was only, they may have only used three questions and I sent them five. So I always provide a little bit more than I should because I never know what they're going to do, how much they're going to use. So I always try to provide them enough for a quarter of a page. So there you go. I was just looking, I just looked at a column. And the Yankee Express, probably a good place to start to look because it's usually there every week. So that's one of the things. The other question was somebody wrote to me and they said, I'm writing to get your opinion regarding Toyota's paint peeling issue. I own a 2007 RAV4 in Blizzard Pearl paint color. I received a letter the other day from Toyota. Sorry, I needed to cough. It seems that Blizzard Pearl and the Super White paints are peeling in sheets off the vehicles. They're not calling it a recall. They're calling it customer support satisfaction. When I Googled paint peel Toyota, this started back in 2009. I guess it takes several years before the paint peels off. It seems that when people took their vehicle that appealed to the dealership, they were told the car was out of warranty and there wasn't anything we were going to do about it. I guess they've decided they have to now. The letter says that only the sections that peeled would be repainted, which means that after they paint one section, in the future another section could peel. And what if my car starts peeling 5 years from now? Will they cover it? So my question to you is, do I keep the car, trade it now before the paint peels off? I can't find any statistics on the percentage of cars that are peeling and the odds of it now. Sorry for the long-winded question. What do you think? Well, it was a long-winded question, and it probably would have been less long-winded if I didn't take so long to read it. This is not a Toyota problem. This is a many vehicle manufacturers' problem. What happens is, to prevent rusting, the vehicle manufacturers are using a primer that does a really good job to cut down on corrosion. So as they go through the paint process, they dip the whole car, spray it, and it gets this primer that really does a good job of preventing rust. To paint the car, they're supposed to paint primer sealer, base coat, clear coat. What happened with some manufacturers, and this goes way back to the 80s with GM even, is they opted not to put the primer sealer on. So the primer starts to get chalky, and when it gets chalky, the paint doesn't stick to it anymore, the paint peels off, and then you have a problem. So I've seen this on Toyotas, I've seen it on Fords, I've seen it on GM cars, I've seen it on a lot of different cars. Why they only paint the affected areas, why the primer gets chalky is it's not UV resistant. It has a problem with ultraviolet light. So it tends to be on flat surfaces, hood, trunk, roof. And that's why they're only painting affected areas, because hand signals.
Just letting you know.
I know. So that's why they only affected. That's why they only did certain things. Hey, look, it's a surprise. It's Johnny Costello.
Hi, guys.
What are you doing?
I got your trivia question right.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. You can ask Dennis. I texted at 9:01. The answer came out at 9:14.
Wow.
I'm
9:11.
On 9:11, whatever. Yeah, I missed the number. Yeah. Well, I still beat. I still won.
Yeah, you still
I
won.
I still won. I want my prize. Is that, right. That brand new Acura?
Yeah, I don't have an Acura. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you know,
it beats the 97 Golden Banana out there.
There's
you
nothing
see that?
There's nothing wrong with your 97 Golden Banana.
No, she's abuse.
Yeah.
She's abuse. There's no thermostat. Can I get through the whole winter without a thermostat?
Do you own a warm coat?
Yeah, but you know what? When I turn on the heat, she works.
It works. It will until it gets cold. And then you
is
go,
that what happens?
And then you go,
no, sir.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, because what happens with no thermostat, the engine's probably like 150 degrees.
Okay.
And so 150 degrees, when air blows by 150 degrees, it feels hot on us today. But in the wintertime, when it's 150 degrees and the wind, and it's only 5 degrees outside, and the air blows by.
Why do you have to be
so
smart? All right, I'll get a thermostat. Fine.
Yeah, you just should. It kind of.
You walk outside all day every day anyway. So
yeah, but I want to be warm in the car. I want to be warm in the car on the ride home. It's my only safe spot when it comes to the cold that I have to hop in the car at times. You know.
Do people give you like a cup of hot tea or something?
Yes.
In cold weather.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. More than you think. Yes. Yeah. People take care of their mailman. Tea, coffee, whiskey. I mean, not whiskey. I didn't mean to say that. Water. But at times. Water. Lots of water.
But I'm sure they occasionally would say to you, would you like a hot toddy, for instance?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And you never know what could be in the toddy.
We can't say it, but in the Irish, it's Ishkabaha.
Ishkabaha?
Yes. The water of life, which means whiskey. So
we'll
just call it Ishkabaha for all the Irish speaking out there that are listening to the car doctor.
Ishkabaha. Huh.
Yes.
Huh. I'll have to if I see an Irish entertainer, I'll ask him if he wants an Ishkabaha.
And he'll say yes. Without a doubt. He'll say, it's good for the throat.
Yeah.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. Hey, that music playing in the background means we gotta go. And Johnny the Rooster Costello filling in for our buddy Paul Sullivan.
Yeah, Paul's out just another week. He just needs another week to recover from whatever it is, the last procedure he has.
I know he had a little back problems.
Yeah.
He had a few problems here and there. So
just wishing
our buddy the best. So the very best in Irish music coming up here with Johnny Costello and the Irish Hit Parade. Until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.